Chapter 43. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Peter sat alone in his room. His straight brown hair was still wet from a shower and carefully combed into place. It was a Monday evening, but he wore his crisp white shirt and tie. A black suit coat dangled from the hook on his closed door. In a couple of hours, the funeral would begin. Right now, he just wanted to be alone with his thoughts. Downstairs, he could hear his nieces running around happily, without a care in the world. Loneliness seemed to fill his heart so full, he thought it might explode. Verity, his best friend, was gone. It had all happened so fast. He hated the way he had reacted to her. Yet even now, he wasn't sure he could have done anything differently. If only he could turn to someone who would understand, someone with the wisdom to help him get through this. Yet at this crucial time in his life, his family, whom he had always relied on before, was only making things worse. He'd never had a chance to tell Verity of his week out east. It had mostly been a huge disappointment. With all of Andrew's theology studies, he had seemed to overflow with church traditions and writings from leaders of the past. Simple Bible teachings didn't hold much weight. Most evenings they had been up until past midnight discussing the issues Peter raised, but Andrew had always done most of the talking. Now Peter felt his whole family seemed to be against him. Who was Peter to question the teachings of the church? Had he attended theological college? The study sheets he had vainly tried to show them were quickly discounted. Andrew had warned him again and again not to get involved with such a radical group. But was it a radical group? How could it be radical to read the Bible for oneself and believe what you read? In many ways, Peter just wanted to give up on religion altogether. Did God even exist? Religion wasn't supposed to lead to such conflict, was it? If God was really in control, how could someone as faithful as Verity die so tragically? Yet a line from Verity's letter kept repeating itself in his head. I hope that my influence in your life won't be to turn you away from God, or my friendship will have had no value, and you would have been better off without it. He fought with those words constantly. He didn't want to admit how true they were. Rising from his chair, Peter picked up his jacket. Maybe he would walk on out to the cemetery. The funeral was to be held at the graveside on the outskirts of Granville. With his jacket slung over one shoulder, he went despondently down the stairs. His mum looked up from reading a story to the two little girls. He could see the love and concern in her eyes and knew she wished she could help. So many times in the last few days, she tried to tell him that Verity was in heaven, looking down in peace and happiness on all that was going on. Sadly, though, Peter knew she was wrong. Those words could no longer provide any comfort to him. "I don't know why you keep saying that, Mum," he had remarked just yesterday in frustration. "Firstly, it isn't even what our church would say. Verity doesn't believe in the Trinity, so our pastor would say she's not a Christian. Secondly, as I've tried to show you, Verity won't be thinking or feeling anything until the resurrection." "Oh, Peter," his mother had remarked, "I don't believe that. Of course Verity is in heaven." "Is that what you'd like to believe?" he'd ask. "Or have you come to that conclusion from reading the Bible?" And then he had stopped in shock, realizing he had just echoed Verity's words to him not so very long ago. All these things went through his mind as he stood there on the stairs. "Mum," he said, "I'm going to walk to the service. I'll see you there." Mrs. Bryant seemed very concerned. "Peter, we'll be leaving in half an hour or so. Why don't you just wait a bit and get a ride with us?" "It's okay, Mum," he replied. "I just need time to think." It was a balmy June evening as he set out on foot. All around the town, children were out playing games. People were barbecuing their dinners. Life carried on as though nothing had happened. Peter was relieved to finally walk past all the houses and down the long dirt road that led to the cemetery. An hour later, after being passed by many cars, he walked around the last bend and saw the graveyard. Monuments and gravestones stretched from one end to the other under tall, stately maples and oaks. Lots of cars were lining the road, and hundreds of people stood around. Peter was surprised how many people had come to pay their last regards. Putting on his suit jacket, Peter swallowed the huge lump in his throat. This was it. This was the final, official goodbye. Strains of music reached his ears, but he didn't recognize the tune until he was quite close. "That's Handel's Messiah playing," he thought. "I wonder if Verity requested that." Listening to the words, he realized it was the piece, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." It seemed rather fitting. It had been her hope, to the very end. Peter saw Kara and Thomas standing together, and they motioned for him to join them. Thomas put an arm around his shoulders and they stood together, silently waiting for the service to begin. As Peter looked around, he recognized many friends from school. Even Mr. Connor stood far back in the crowd. Several faces were friends he recognized from the seminars. There were also many people Peter didn't know at all, yet they had to be connected somehow. It was plain to see that Verity's death had touched many lives. Mr. Simons prayed to God and then opened his Bible to begin his words of comfort. "It's very fitting to remember that Verity began her search at a funeral less than a year ago," he said. "A time such as this reminds all of us that sooner or later we will all come here. The writer of Ecclesiastes tells us, 'It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure.'" "As sad as such an occasion as this is," he went on to say, "good may come from pondering these things. We need to realize that unless we do as Verity did, and search diligently for the hope and the promises God has offered, when death overtakes us, as it must every man, we will simply die and be no more." Many of us wish that Verity had realized earlier the seriousness of her health condition. Perhaps then she would still be with us today. However, while we might be saddened that Verity didn't seek medical treatment sooner, we rejoice that she urgently sought a cure from a much greater physician. We thank God that he allowed her to come to him before it was too late. She found the water of life our Lord has prescribed, which will in the end bring forth life forever. Verity left this life with a smile on her lips, knowing that this is not the end. She wanted everyone to hear today the words of Job. "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Without the resurrection of the dead, we would truly have only sorrow for Verity's untimely death, but she hopes to be a partaker of life again in the near future when Christ returns to earth to set up his kingdom. In the words of Thessalonians, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of the men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Till that day then, dear Verity, we say goodbye." Mr. Simon's voice faltered, and Peter looked up through his tears, wondering if he would make it through to the end. The last few words were hard to hear. "May God be gracious to all of us standing here, that we may also have the hope of seeing you again and partaking in the promises that will surely come upon this earth." Then Mr. Henderson stepped forward to explain that the closing hymn they were about to sing had also been a special request from Verity. It was a rousing hymn, and Peter felt rather uncomfortable. This was a song of rejoicing, not one of mourning. Yet they sang, "Lift now your voice and sing, hallelujah, amen. Sing loud of Israel's King, hallelujah, amen. Sing of the better day, when earth shall own his sway, all nations him obey, hallelujah, amen. Hail, Jesus comes again, hallelujah, amen. He comes o'er earth to reign, hallelujah, amen. True to David's throne, he'll claim it as his own. His power shall then be known, hallelujah, amen." Mr. Henderson closed in prayer. The clouds in the sky were beginning to turn pink as the casket, covered in flowers, was lowered into the ground. Peter, Thomas and Kara embraced and cried. Aunt Judy talked sadly with the Hendersons. Purity came over and gave them all a hug as well. For a while, everyone just stayed around and talked. Feeling he needed to be alone once more, Peter was thinking about leaving when he felt a small hand reach into his. He looked down to see little Jessica Simons looking up at her, with her big blue eyes all clouded over and tear stains on her face. I'll be your sister now, she said generously. Peter realized that Verity's death was probably as difficult for the little girl as it was for him. He bent down and gave her a big hug. Thanks, he managed to say. I'll need you to be. Mr. Symers had been following his daughter, and he put his arm on Peter's shoulders. If you need a listening ear, he said, just let us know. We really feel for you and want to help in any way we can. Peter looked up and nodded. Thanks, he said. I'll probably take you up on that. The sky was becoming darker, with just the last few streaks of brilliant colour disappearing on the horizon. Most people were heading out to go back to the hall. Peter accepted the invitation to go as well, but he didn't want a ride. I'd just like to walk, if that's okay, he said, trudging off with his head down low. Thomas looked over just in time to see Peter leaving. He hesitated anxiously. Should he allow his friend some time to himself, or should he comfort him in this time of grief? The days of his own loneliness flashed before him. Hey, Peter Bryant! Thomas called out. Wait up! You can't walk off into the sunset all by yourself. Peter turned around, a sudden grin brightening his weary face. Together, arms slung around each other's shoulders, they made their way up the dusty dirt road. Touching the little note in his chest pocket, Peter recalled, It's not about this life. This life is only preparation for something much grander. What are a few years of mortal existence in comparison to eternity in God's kingdom? Peter, please be there. Those were her words. Verity had written them. And lifting up his tear-stained face, he knew in his heart her words were true.